listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.
I'm going to get a little transparent this morning as I start. I just want to say again, thank you so much for your generosity and your kindness shown to Sharon and I in this manner. Bless you. I want to say that over time, I have had a lot of different kinds of music appreciation. One of the groups that I have kind of hung with for a while has been the Gatlin Brothers. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of them. How many remember All the Gold in California is in a bank in the middle of Beverly Hills in somebody else's name? How many remember that song? Okay. Larry Gatlin grew up in a Baptist church, drifted from God, and songs like that made him a ton of money. Then he had a comeback to Jesus, as a lot of these artists did, like Glen Campbell had a comeback to Jesus. Larry Gatlin and his two brothers, Rudy and Steve, they now sing a song that says something like this: greatly blessed and highly favored, imperfect but forgiven child of God. I mean, no, there's a message of the goodness of God that tracks us down in that song. I want to talk to you this morning about favor. And I need you to turn with me to, that is, godly favor. I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 1. And we're going to read to you starting at verse 28. Here it says that the angel came to her, Mary, and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying. That's an important phrase right there. And tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor." Say favor. You have found favor with God. Can I begin this morning by saying Mary was quite an ordinary, regular human being. And I'm fully aware, because I grew up in a tradition that gave her prominence, I think, beyond what the scriptures give. And I'm aware of these other religious groups and what they've made her out to be. But at the end of the day, she was as any one of us. Yet, can I say, God found favor with her. First of all, she wasn't full of grace, as some have taught. She needed grace. Secondly, she wasn't sinless, as some also have taught. She was a sinner just as all of us are. And the reason she said to the angel, "My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior," was because she too needed a Savior. Even in this amazing passage from Luke 1, where we first meet her in Scripture, we see her perplexed and that she was greatly troubled. She did not have it. Let me say it altogether. As a matter of fact, we see her that she's pretty much freaked out when this group of angels come, and she's afraid in the presence of Gabriel. And she expresses her doubts, like, how will this be since I am a virgin? And it'd be just like any regular person raising questions. But here's all that matters when it comes to Mary and to you and I. Finding favor with God. And how do you find favor with God? What does that look like? Do you want God's favor in your life? That's a real important question. Do we want God's favor over our life? Finding favor with God makes everything else okay. I want to encourage you today to make gaining the favor of God your focus. And what does that look like? I want you to make that your focus, because later on in this service, I want to share with you a prophetic word by Kent Christmas. And in that prophetic word, you're going to learn that God is placing his favor on the 11th hour generation. And that generation is not limited to age. It's not limited to how long you have been a Christian. It precisely identifies us in the time frame just prior to the return of Jesus. And I'm going to explain a little bit more about that the closer we get to it. But when you gain God's favor, everything else falls into place with respect to your life. And that's what the favor of God looks like. Your life yielded to God. You found what was the key to what is your existence. So let's talk about Mary a little bit here this morning. The Bible does not say Mary found favor with her parents. It doesn't say that she found favor with her fiancé. It doesn't say that she found favor with her neighbors. And all these are fine to do. But when you have found favor with God, you have found everything. Now, it doesn't mean everything in your life is going to be perfect as a result. Let's take a look at Mary. It certainly wasn't that way with her. She had found favor with God, but it didn't mean that her husband or her husband-to-be was going to understand everything that was coming down at that time. When you find favor with God, those in your circle may not fully understand everything that is happening, and she certainly didn't. Mary found favor with God, but it didn't mean that her son wasn't going to be born in a barn. How many know that the mama bear instinct kicks in for every mother? And you want the best for your children. But it didn't come down that way when she was giving birth to her son. He was born in a barn. Mary found favor with God, but still it didn't mean she wouldn't experience some lonely times, particularly when Jesus drifted off, left home, and aligned with Father God's plan. Again, Mary found favor with God, yet it didn't mean her son that she loved wouldn't be hated, even rejected, beaten, crucified right there before her eyes. Finding favor with God does not mean everything becomes wonderful, rosy, beautiful, and bright. But I'll tell you what it does mean. It means God Almighty has laid his hand upon your life. Let me say that again. When God places his hand on your life, and nothing else is more important than that, you have found favor. Because he's going to use you like he did Mary for his eternal purposes. It means you will have an ongoing hope. That is, hope that you can overcome all the obstacles that you are facing or will face. And I promise you, I want to promise you this morning that Mary is having a great day today. All of what she had gone through 2,000 years ago, all the pain and heartache, she's having a good day today. She hasn't spent 1 minute today moaning about what a rough life or a rough plan that God had for her. When the messenger came from heaven to Nazareth, she certainly did not have all her ducks in order. Nor did she know where all that would take her. But she learned she would be the mother of her Savior. And God is fully capable of rewarding those that he favors. In the song, Greatly Blessed and Highly Favored, I want us to differentiate between blessing and favor. We're a blessed people. God has blessed us. But to walk under the canopy of God's favor is yet another thing. For me, I just want everything that God has for me. I want his blessings. I want his favor. That is, when he places his hand upon my life for favor, where does that take me? What does that look like? How does that apply to me, to my kids, to my grandkids, and to our church? What does the favor of God actually look like? You don't need to wait until eternity before being able to look back without resentment of the hard things God took you through, just as one who has found favor with God. You can thank him and praise him right now for what he's allowed in your life. And you need to know that he's working something special in you. Can I say, God's favor is never easy, but it's always good. It means that you have to put all your hope in the only right place. So if you're questioning whether you have the favor of God, let me help you this morning, okay? For starters, when you came to Jesus in faith and committed to following him, you became a child of God. That was your start. That was your beginning. You literally became a son or a daughter of the Most High. And can I say that getting into the family of God is pretty special? That's pretty special. You're special because you have been brought into the family of God through faith in Jesus Christ. However, that was only your introduction to the favor of God. You see, the favor of God comes by how you live your life as a child of God. That's a key. I hope you didn't miss it. We've been blessed to be added to the family of God, but to achieve the favor of God is how we live our life in this present day. You see, God is equipping you, whether you realize it or not, and we all are being equipped in this room, listen carefully now, at different stages and different levels. Some of you are being equipped at a very elementary level. Some of you are being taken through some higher schools of learning in the spirit. And your challenges are more difficult. But if you become a believer, you're on this journey of being Christ-like. He's equipping you. Can I add this little three-word tidbit? Don't fight God. Don't fight him. He's got you on a journey. Don't resist him. Don't insert your ways. Argue with him. Flow with him. Because that gives you value, and it gives you identity, and it leads you into your purpose, which is going to bring on the favor of God in your life. Now, for the rest of your days, can I encourage you to choose to walk out God's favor? Walking out God's favor is, like I said, significant. How does it look? What's it made up like? I'm going to give you a few points here to identify what the favor of God looks like in your life. Number one, you are daily pursuing God. I mean, you're going after God like there's no tomorrow. You're making sacrifices financially. You're making time sacrifices. You are investing in the kingdom of God. You're pursuing God. Secondly, I want you to stay the course. There are so many distractions out there. Listen, the TV, the internet, all those are distractions to your moral purity, to your holiness, to your uprightness with God. Stay the course. Pursue God. Stay his course. Number three, position yourself for divine intervention. What does that mean? That means make an intentional decision to stay under the canopy of God's goodness. Be in church regularly. Be here before the doors open. That's going to be early. Find a place and pray. Seek God intentionally. Position yourself for divine intervention. And next, number four, welcome God's direction in your life, which I might want to give you a tip here, is not going to be the direction that you choose. How many know that the kingdom of God is a backwards kingdom? Everything that we choose, God usually has a different way. But you're going to be a part of his way because you are Christian. And your life you want to align with his ways. Number five, realize that hardship is part of this journey. Take a look at Mary's life. It was full of hardship. But yet she experienced the favor of God. Number six, know in the end, God's purposes will be extended. And are you living your life that way? Living your life so God's purpose will be extended through your life, through your kids, through your grandkids, to everybody in your family. You want to see the kingdom of God demonstrated. And you're primarily seeking God's kingdom and not self-fulfillment. Where do we find that? Well, Jesus said something like this: seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I want to give you some thought-provoking questions this morning. Who are you trying the hardest to please? Who do you desire to please the most? And what is that effort producing? Can you identify obstacles blocking your view of hope? This morning I want you to settle some issues. You see, every Christian is blessed, but not all are walking in the favor of God. Not all are pursuing God in that kind of intentionality and henceforth discovering the purpose for their life. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to get yourself under the canopy of God's favor. Because when you do that, and we do that together as a church, the windows of heaven are opened up on us. For the next few minutes, I want to share with you a prophetic word by Ken Christmas. Sharon and I had the opportunity to be in his church, meet him, meet his wife. Delightful people. Humble people, I might add. David did as well, David and Brenda. That's the guy right there. He's very unassuming, but when the anointing comes upon his life, he begins to usher the word of the Lord. And he's talking about the favor of God coming on the 11th hour generation. Can I say what the 11th hour is? The 11th hour is that time frame prior to the return of Jesus. I haven't preached a lot. I preached a series a few years ago on the end times, but we don't dwell a lot on that. We know Jesus is coming, right? But how are we going to position ourselves as an 11th hour generation? He's going to address the subject of the 9th hour, the 10th hour generation. He's going to talk about the favor of God. I want you to open your heart to this prophetic word.
God said the 11th hour people are people that up until this time have really not done much in the kingdom. But they were hungry for the presence of the Lord. And God said the reward and the blessing that's coming on this group of men and women is going to be the accumulation of what the first 10 hours had altogether. And that the hand of God is upon you. The Lord says that this is not going to be hard. God said, I'm going to go before you. I hear the Lord saying that I'm going to begin to speak to leaders, and I'm going to give them blueprints for things in the spirit that are out of the box. God said, these men and women are going to make me famous to this generation. He said, I have become a historical figure to another generation from the past. But he said, this generation has not heard of me. And God says, I'm getting ready to reveal myself to them by the Spirit, and I'm going to release my glory and my power upon them in such a measure of the authenticity of their Creator that it will be astounding as to what the Lord is going to do in this hour. The favor of God. I heard the Lord say that up until this time, we've pretty much labored under a closed heaven. And God said, I'm opening heaven now. And even as Jacob saw angels ascending and descending without any hindrance back and forth between heaven and earth, God said, I am loosing now a direct line of communication between heaven and the earth. And the Lord said that this spirit that has, I was thinking of this when God spoke to Daniel. He said, your prayer was heard the first day, but he said, you were fought for 21 days. The Lord said, I am removing the demonic activity that has delayed prayers in the atmosphere. And God said, when it comes out of your mouth, it will instantly be in the throne room of the Lord. God said, I will reverse that prayer, and I will attach to it the answer, and I will send it back quickly, says God, and there will be no hindrance. This is why the Lord said, I'm doing a quick work. It's because the fallen angels and demonic spirits will not be able to interfere. God said, you're getting ready to have services to where there will be such a release of the presence of the Lord. The Lord said, I'm going to set angels at the door of your sanctuaries. And where in times past that there have been spirits that have been able to come into the sanctuary and hinder the service, there have been where the enemy has sent certain individuals in that have bound up services, God said, I'm going to send angels at the threshold and the entrances of your houses, of your services, and that when the enemy comes in to get inside of the building, the angels of the Lord will stop them. And inside where you're having service, says the Lord, it will be uninhibited, unrestricted. There will be no demonic powers that will be able, that you will fight against. There won't be any more, let's try to break through and touch the Lord. God said, before you ever get there, I will already be there, says the Lord. And that when you get inside of the building, hallelujah, there will be such a release of the presence of God and the anoint of the Lord that yokes begin to fall off. The day, saith the Lord, to where you have to have prayer lines and lay hands on people God said, even though that might happen from time to time, God said there is such a level of the anointing of God that is going to begin to hit the 11th hour generation, that just in the presence of the Lord, God said, I'm going to move in amongst you like a wave, like a cloud, and I will settle upon them, and all of a sudden you will see the glory over here, and then it will move, and you'll see the glory over here, and then it'll move again, hallelujah, and you see the magnifying of the presence of the Lord. God said, don't judge your future by your past. The Lord said, I raised you up for such an hour as this. When you were standing in the marketplace idle, says God, and you wondered, Lord, will I ever be involved in the kingdom? God said, oh yes you are, and this day, saith the Lord, I put my hand upon you and I say you're hired, and I'm sending you forth with a blessing and an anointing of the Holy Ghost, and I'm releasing it by the Spirit of the Lord. The Lord says also that what the previous people should have done in the first 10 hours that they didn't do, God said, I'm going to take the blessing of that. I'm going to put it on the 11th hour generation. And God said, there's going to be such an ease. The Lord said that I'm going to baptize you in oil. And God said, I'm doing it for two reasons. Because when I baptize you with oil, the enemy will not be able to grasp you. Because every time he puts his hand on you, it'll slide off because of the coating of the oil of the Holy Ghost. But also, says the Lord, I'm going to do it in such a way that thresholds in areas that you couldn't get in before, now you'll be able to go through with ease. God said, I'm going to send this generation, this 11th hour men and women, into strongholds that the church has never touched.
Ooh,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And God says that you are just weeks away. Oh, hallelujah. I try not to put dates on things, but I'm telling you by the Holy Ghost, I hear the Lord saying that we are weeks and days away. Hallelujah. We are weeks and days away. And God said that. You say, Lord, am I one of them? And the Lord says, if you can look at your life and say over the next few months, the last few months, that my heart has changed, things that I used to care about, I don't care about anymore. And you felt such a drawing into his presence. God said, that's a sign that you're an 11th hour company of men and women. And what you've held on to, says the Lord, in the natural, you'll just release it. And God says, I can put more in an open hand than I can a closed. Hallelujah. I also hear the Lord saying that there's been a drought of new songs that really impact the church. God said, I'm getting ready to revive songwriting. But it's going to be songs that have the same kind of impact on the church like Amazing Grace. God said these songs, many of them are going to come out of men and women who for a long, long time have been in places that were valleys and difficult places. God said these songs are going to be written as victory songs because you're coming out. Though God says that whereas the church for a long time has watched the platform sing and the congregation listen, the Lord says, I'm putting an anointing upon the church and I'm going to turn you into a mammoth choir. Hallelujah. And it would no longer be entertainment or soloists or talent. But God says as the platform opens up their mouth and begins to sing this new anthem, hallelujah, this new anthem. God said there's an anthem song that's getting ready to be released. I hear it by the Spirit. God said, I'm getting ready to release an anthem song that's going to attach itself to the final harvest. It will be sung all over the world, says the Lord, and it will shake the very powers of darkness in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 And all little ones, says the Lord, I call you little ones. I've watched you stand. I've watched you go through hell and back. I've watched you suffer. But God said those days are coming to an end. And to this day, saith the Lord, I put in thy hand the scepter of favor. I put in thy hand the scepter of abundance. I put in thy hand, saith the Lord, the scepter of separation from thy enemies. And God says Psalms 91 is going to come to pass. You're going to watch your enemies fall on the right hand and on the left hand, but it shall not come nigh unto thy dwelling. So this day, saith God, I begin to release in your spirit a shout and a song of the Spirit of the Lord. Do not judge me by what I have not done, but judge me by what I've already declared, saith the Lord. For I will fulfill my word, and I am raising you up, saith God, as an 11th hour generation of men and women that will bring in the final kingdom of the Lord for the glory of God. I don't know where you're at today. I don't know what country you're watching from, what state you're in. But this kind of prophetic word should not surprise us, because God has already declared through his word that the glory of the latter house will be greater than that of the former, that I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. I wish you could just see in the spirit with me the activity in heaven. God said the angels are excited because of what's getting ready to happen in the earth. You and I, hallelujah, get to be a part of the greatest end time move of the Lord that we've ever seen. As I bring my wife back, I want to encourage you, and God, you hold your ground. God's getting ready to come and stick you back in the field, and the blessing of God is going to be your portion. God bless you.
Powerful word. That word was given last Sunday to the body of Christ. I, as a follower of Jesus, want to be under his canopy, his favor. Amen. Particularly at this time in our history as a church. Church has been in existence for about 2,000 years. How many know we're much, much, much closer to the return of Jesus than we've ever been as a church? And you had some things on a local level you want to share. That you have some things? Okay, let's just, what's it going to take for us to be under the canopy of the goodness of God? Come on, let's just hear these, and then we're going to turn a corner.
So during the worship, the Lord showed me he was watching us. His eyes were watching us, and then he gave me this scripture. It's in 2 Chronicles it says the eyes of the Lord are going to and fro throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. The Lord's saying this morning, are you fully committed to me? Do you want to be those in that end time harvest? You're willing to say, yes, I'm available. I want to be available. And in the past season and this word, I watched this whole thing a week ago. This is taking everything. And it's the word the pastor preached. We need to respond to the word the pastor preached. We need to respond to the prophetic word. And I believe this morning God's calling us to respond. And it's not just about walking up to the front and saying, oh yeah, I want to follow God. We do this all the time. You know, people come all the time to the altar, and then during the week they come and tell me what they're doing with their lives. And I feel like there's an urgency. And there's a thing God's asking you. You cannot go on with things in your life that you've been doing. And then you talk to Lauren and she encourages you, or talk to someone in the week, or maybe you don't talk to anybody, but you're still looking at those things. You're still doing those things, or you're not doing those things you knew you should do. And the time is so short. But God wants to use you mightily. He wants to use the whole congregation. And He's beginning to use people. I was just watching you during this service. He's beginning to move on your hearts. And I almost feel, I don't know what Dave's got, but I want you all to stand up right now. Come on, Dave. I give Dave an opportunity. But Lord's telling me He is calling you. It's not me calling you. He is saying, are you available? And if you've been walking with God, and if you've already, you're committed, He wants more. He wants everything. He wants all your time. He wants your talent. He wants you to let go of your own ideas and your own things. Because the move of God that's going to go on right now is going to take everything. When I do the prayer meeting Monday night and I see two people, I'm telling you, we're not where we need to be in this house. I'm calling you forward this morning. And the Lord showed me people need to run forward, not to me. Come on, David. I don't know what He's going to say, but I want you to come forward because I want us to pray for you this morning. This is so serious. This is so serious.
Early in the service, Pastor alluded to what they said in the book of Acts. In Antioch, they are called Christians. It says they knew they were Christians by how much they loved each other. And what I really feel the Spirit of the Lord wants to impress upon us as well today is that in the first century, when you were called a Christian, it had a lot different meaning and application than it does in America today. When you were a Christian in the first century and you were baptized, what that meant that you were sending notice to Caesar, the Roman Empire, that you were swearing allegiance to a different king and not to Caesar. And many were put to death because of that. Because when you were in Rome, they had Caesar worship. Caesar was considered God. And I really feel the Holy Spirit wants to begin to impress upon us a Christian is a Christ follower. Today in America, oh, I'm a Christian. What does that mean? And I really feel, this is my feeling right now, okay? That when we talk to people about God, I think we should stop saying, I'm a Christian. But I'm a Christ follower. Now that defines it real quick. But what do you mean you're a Christ follower? Well, what an opportunity to share what it is to be a Christian. It's called lay down love. Jesus laid down His life that the will of the Father might be completely accomplished in His life. We're called to be lay down lovers. So that they overcame Him by their testimony, the blood of the Lamb and their testimony that they love not their lives, even if it meant death. We're called to lay our lives down every day. We're called to crucify ourselves every day. We're called to pick up the cross of Jesus every day. What does that mean? Dying to ourselves, making room for Jesus to live through us. It's not a list of rules and regulation. That's religion. We're talking relationship. There's a song, an old charismatic song. Some of us will remember that. Would you be poured out as wine upon the altar for me? Would you be broken as bread to feed the hungry? Would you be so one with me that I may do my perfect will? A life to live, a life to love, His word fulfilled, His will fulfilled. How many in this room want to allow the Holy Spirit to recalibrate our lives today to where I'm going to be a Christ follower? He's only given us one life. Are we going to live it for Him? One day, very soon, we're all going to stand before the Bema seat of God. That's the judgment seat of Christ. Our salvation doesn't come into question if we know Him. It's our service to Him. And He's going to ask us, did you do the things I asked you to do? Did you do the things I asked you to do? It's time for clarity. It's time for recalibration. He said, come out from amongst them, be ye separate, and I will receive you as my sons and daughters. It's time again to understand what consecration is. It's time again to understand what sanctification is. Be separate, be different. If we were to be called into a court, would there be enough evidence in our lives to convict us of being Christ-like? This is not meant to be a hard word, Pastor. It's meant to be a word to awaken. Awaken my people from your slumber. Awaken my people from your distractions. Look to the Lamb, the author, the finisher of your faith.
Okay, we've had two altar calls. Two. Good. What I'm actually seeing and experiencing in my own spirit right now is transition. And God wants to take us from seeking blessings to walking under His favor. Big difference. And it's tough to pull off in a seeker-friendly community. Church community, I mean, where everybody wants to be entertained, but I think Kent Christmas nailed that. So here's what we're going to do. This altar area is open. I mean, this is a heavy for 2023 Christmas Cornerstone Church, December 17th. We've got a lot of good stuff happening yet before this day is over. But I think it's important that we come, humble ourselves, and position ourselves to be under the canopy of God's favor. Okay? This team's going to play some music, and you're going to come. Some of you may want prayer, but most of you are going to want to just spend some time with Jesus and kind of deal with this canopy stuff. Changing some decision, making some decision, changing some actions so that you can carry the presence of God as an 11th hour generation. Remember, it's not about your age. It's not about youth. It's about existing on the planet in this hour prior to the return of Jesus. You didn't ask for that. I didn't ask for that. God put us on the planet for this time. Will we walk out the favor of God? Thank you, Lord, for what you've been showing us as a people. My prayer right now, Lord, is that each and every one of us will make some conscious steps to embrace you, your purpose, as Mary did. Confused, perplexed as she was, yet you found favor in her. And her favor ushered in the Savior of the world. Lord, may we be an extension of your favor, your goodness, and your grace. I pray in Jesus' name. Come, find Jesus. Settle some issues. If you must go, service is dismissed. We meet at 5 o'clock this afternoon for the presentation by the children. And then some awesome, awesome things tumbling out after that. God is good. And his goodness cannot be denied. God bless you.
Listening to the Cornerstone Church weekly podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.